is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. Later in the program, we'll hear about the skills con artists use to choose and manipulate their victims. Starting off this afternoon, many people enjoy horseback riding for exercise and recreation, but riding and caring for horses can also help those with physical and mental disorders, ranging from spina bifida to Down syndrome to PTSD. Joining us to discuss the positive effects of equine therapy are Cincinnati Therapeutic Riding and Horsemanship Executive Director Rob Seidman, board member Ann Phipps, and registered therapist in hippotherapy and licensed occupational therapist with Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, Sarah Ruth Riggs. Joining us by phone, the head of the Equitherapy Learning Program for Veterans at Lovesome Stables, Jeff Freiman. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Well, I'm going to start with Rob and have you just explain to us very briefly, what is this whole therapy with horses?
Yeah, it's just like you said, it's the use of a horse to bring joy and healing to people with disabilities, ranging, like you said, from anything from cognitive to physical to mental health issues like PTSD. So it means something different to a lot of different people.
And tell us what your connection is.
I have a spinal cord injury. I'm paralyzed from chest down at the T6 level. And so for me, it's a physical issue where for me, I get physical therapy out of it, where riding the horse helps me with core posture, balance, strengthening the lower back. And even although I am paralyzed, those muscles do engage when I'm up on the horse, even though I may not have control over that situation. So for me, it's a physical type therapy.
Now, do you ride alone or do you have someone on with you on the horse?
I'm on the horse by myself, but we have a lead walker who pulls the horse by the rein. And then there's someone on the right and left side of me to make sure that, you know, I don't fall or have any issues or anything like that. So there are three people that are on the ground level walking with the horse while I'm on the horse.
Because it seems to me that it would be easy if you are paralyzed to fall off. I mean, how do you hang on with your hands? I mean, what do you do to engage that?
I do two things. I hang on with my hands to the reins, or depending on the saddle that I use, there may be a handle in the front end of the saddle that I hold onto with one hand, my left hand usually, and then I hold onto the reins with my right hand. So I'm able to stabilize myself, but the goal is to build up that strength in the core and my posture so that I can just use the reins. And that's something that we work on.
We're going to talk more about how all that works in just a moment. And okay. Children's Hospital, how do you use the program there?
Yeah, so with hippotherapy, which is what I do, that's when we put people on the horse and we use the horse's movement to create functional outcomes.
What does that mean in English?
Right. So really, we tailor it to the person that we're working with. So as an occupational therapist, you know, I'm an expert in breaking apart people's daily life and helping them do their daily life skills when there is a limitation or a disability. So for me, it may be an individual coming into CTRH who might have autism, and maybe social participation is a barrier for them. And getting them to socially participate, when I have the use of a horse and I can put them on top of a horse and use their movement and use the bonding with the horse, suddenly I'm getting a wave. I'm getting a smile, and I might get the first words, or the horse might get the first song that's ever sung. So that's how I use the horse in a very therapeutic way.
Now, you used the word hippotherapy. What does that mean?
Yeah, hippotherapy is a treatment strategy that's used by occupational therapists, physical therapists, or speech therapists when we use the movement of the horse to create change in our clients. So we are very meticulous and very thoughtful about how we move the horse to create responses in our client, whether that's to create balance challenges or challenge their core strength, like Anne was talking about, or it could be as simple as sequencing multiple steps for a motor task, such as reining through an obstacle course, such as cognition, working on cognitive strategies and that kind of thing.
Now, Jeff, you work with veterans. How does your program work?
Well, we do a couple things at Lovesum. We actually have two programs. We have one for riding with disabled, mainly children, although we do have adults as well. And then the veterans program, we work in partnership with Joseph House, and we do a six-week session with a group of veterans. And our work with them is more groundwork. And the way to explain that is they don't do a lot of riding. It's more exercises with the horse on the ground, like grooming. And that's the beginning, is grooming and getting to know your horse and building a connection with them. And then we go on to do some other things that help them see their fears and different ways of looking at things. The interesting thing about a horse is they give feedback in a way that humans don't. You know, the horse is very, several things about a horse. Like if you walk up to a horse, the horse will sense your anxiety or your calmness, and they'll react to that.
What do they do? What does the horse do?
Well, I've seen them do all kinds of things. I've seen them shy away from people. I've seen them run away from people. And I've also seen them, you know, put their head on somebody's shoulder, depending on what the situation is. Go ahead.
I would say it's kind of interesting just in general as you all talk about this. I would think you'd have to have some very special horses. Do you really try to find horses with particular personalities, or is it just special training for those horses?
I can tell you in the case of the veterans, veterans across the country have been responding to Mustangs in particular.
Why do you think that is?
Well, they've gone through, in some ways, a real similar traumatic experience. Yeah, the Mustangs that that we use are rounded up by helicopter, by the BLM, and in an effort to do some land management. And they're held in captivity in pretty horrific conditions. And so that experience, particularly the rounding up by helicopter, is something that the vets relate to. And when the vets relate to those horses, the bonding is that much more powerful. And it's interesting when you ask veteran riders, military veteran riders, you know, what do you want more of? You would think it would be, I want to get on that horse more. I mean, that was my first thought. Mm-hmm. But no, they don't want more time, quote, on the horse. They want more time, quote, with the horse. That bond is critical.
Jeff, do you agree?
I do. And the we've actually had a couple guys that have been through the Mustang programs. I have done some work with them as well, and it's a whole different level of untamed, and for a combat veteran particularly, they relate to that very well.
And talk to us about the kind of horse you ride.
I've ridden two. I've ridden mostly polo horses, and I've ridden a horse named Annie and a horse named Bentley. And Rob, do you? I'm sorry. I don't know the type of horse that Annie is.
You know,
I'm sorry. I don't. Mm-hmm. But the polo horses, I have found the best results in, and that's because they're used to movement and reining, using the head reins, I guess you will, where it's easier for them because they're trained that way to play polo. But it makes it a more challenging effort for me because I can't hold on to my saddle. I have to hold on to the reins to direct the horse in whatever the exercises we're doing. So if it's figure eights, I have to hold on to the reins and then guide the horse left to right to go through those cones. It's not like I can hold on to the saddle. I have to use the reins to control it, which makes it's a harder job for me to sit there and balance and concentrate on staying upright, correct my posture, those kind of things.
Which is good for you.
Very good for me.
Now,
those movements I don't get sitting in my wheelchair all day. I mean, I can move left and right and bend forward and backward, but it's not the same as being up on that horse because it forces my body to engage. And as I'm thinking about what I'm doing with the horse and where I need to go, I'm not thinking about what my oblique muscles are doing or what the low back muscles are doing. They're just doing it. And I know they're doing it because usually a day or two later, I'm in a lot of pain. And it's like, what happened to me? And or my hip flexors get such a stretch from sitting on the horse, which is something I can't get sitting in the chair or laying on a mat, that kind of thing.
Had you ridden a horse before?
No.
The accident? So this is all new. Or yes. Not the accident, the injury, I should say.
Not a problem. Yes, it's all brand new. So.
But Ann is an adrenaline junkie.
No. Well, a little bit.
Sarah Ruth, tell us a little bit about the horses that you choose for working with your patients.
Yeah, I'm very specific on which horse I use and why. A lot of it is personality of the horse, what their tolerance is to certain behaviors that maybe my clients present with, as well as their movement. Because so much of what I do, I'm using the movement to create those responses in my clients. So I might pick a horse that has tons of movement and really strides out and is really spunky because it might wake my kid up or it might really challenge their core muscles a lot. But if I have a client who maybe is even struggling a lot more and maybe a little bit lower functioning, I want a very maybe a slower horse and a horse that doesn't stride out so much and a very calm demeanor. So I'm very particular on which horse and why for each client. It's a very individualized process because they become the teammate for the whole therapy process.
And they use the same horse each time? Do they sort of build up a relationship then with the horse? Mm-hmm. Jeff, you talked a lot about not only being on the horse, but just being with the horse. Talk about some of the things the veterans do that you think, that you find is helpful for them.
Well, there's we generally start with a session of we let the horses loose in the arena, and then we'll throw feed in the arena so they can understand herd behaviors of the horse, and we do that with nobody in for their safety because sometimes the horses will get a little spunky, is I think the word I heard. they'll get a little agitated when the food gets down, and you'll see who's the head of the herd and how they dictate the behaviors and all those type of things. And then the next thing we'll do is bring them in and start them off with, we actually start off with a session with them sitting in chairs in the middle of the arena and the horses are loose. And we've got guys who've never been around a horse and, I've actually seen some interesting things happen there. We had a horse that, he literally walked down the back of all the chairs of the veterans and, he rested his head on top of a guy. Who was clinging to his chair for dear life. The gentleman had never been around horses, didn't know anything about him, and all of a sudden he's got this 1,500-pound animal putting a head on top of him, you know?
Was it a good thing?
And it was a good thing. And that sometimes horses pick the people rather than the people pick the horses, and that was one of those occasions.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking about how riding and caring for horses can be used as therapy for individuals with physical, emotional, or mental disabilities. Our guests this afternoon are Cincinnati Therapeutic Riding and Horsemanship Executive Director Rob Seideman, board member Ann Phipps, and registered therapist in hippotherapy and licensed occupational therapist with Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, Sarah Ruth Riggs. Joining us by phone, the head of the Equitherapy Learning Program for Veterans at Lovesome Stables, Jeff Fryman. You can call us with your questions or your comments at 513-419-7100. Email us talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And Ann, you were talking about all of the physical benefits for you in riding a horse because you've had a spinal cord injury. Tell us you've said it during the break, it was really more than that, though.
It is. There's also a mental type of therapy I get for so long when a paralyzed individual sits in their chair all day, or if you could use the words confined to it, really, because you're limited on some of the things you can do, you're always at a point where you're looking up at people or you have to look right at, you know, waist level at everything. You don't actually get to be up again. So one of the things that I immediately felt once I got on the horse was I was up on this horse. One, I was out of the chair, and it was such an exhilarating experience because I was doing something that did not require the use of my wheelchair. And that was a very, very powerful feeling. And the second that I noticed right away was it was really nice to finally look down at something, whether it be the ground or the assistants walking with me. It didn't matter. It was just nice to know, oh, hey, I can see you down there, where I'm constantly having to look up at everything. So there's it. as much as there is such a physical benefit to it for me there, there's also that mental side of it that just, it's a exhilarating feeling to know there are things out there you can do that you don't have to be in your chair all the time to do.
Another one of our writers put it this way. He said, it's hard not to feel important when you're on top of a horse.
I like that. We got an email from Rebecca who said, actually on Facebook, her son has autism spectrum and loves the horses at Lovesome Stables and has really found that it's helped in over the past several years. So we wanted to pass that along. And Jeff, maybe you want to talk a little bit about the mental aspect of this since you deal not only with veterans but others as well?
That's correct. We work with children and adults with all types of disabilities. Everything ranging from, you know, some of the things we've talked about, autism and Down syndrome and spina bifida, cerebral palsy. We've done a lot of different folks. We've also, one person comes particularly to mind, a lady that had brain surgery for seizures who was in her mid-50s, and she actually started walking again after riding a horse for about 6 months with a walker. So we see...
Why do you think that is, Jimmy? Do you have any idea what, you know, was that just building up that muscle strength or?
It's definitely building the muscle strength. It's also a bit of confidence. And I see it with a lot of riders, you know, the first time they're scared to death and the second time they're scared a little less. And then over time they become more confident. And for her, it was I think there was a lot of confidence. It had to do with and it helped her relearn how to use muscles, and we used all kinds of exercises on the horse for her to learn how to do that.
Sarah Ruth, do you think it gives confidence to the kids that you work with too?
Absolutely, especially as they acquire new skills. I mean, who isn't confident about something when they develop something new? And speaking to the point about learning to walk again, the horse's movement is so unique because it's so similar to that of a human walk. So your body and your brain are processing all these movement, and it's so similar to what the typical gait is of the human that your body's going to start picking that up and developing the motor patterns for walking for those that are struggling with that. So,
Rob, you're shaking your head. You see that too?
Yeah, completely. And I love when Sarah Ruth describes it to me this way, when she said that the horse has so much more. It brings so much more to a therapeutic picture than a therapy ball might. The horse brings warmth. You know, you can use the hot yoga analogy. The horse brings flexibility. You can use minute manipulations to the horse that you couldn't with a therapy ball, for example. It's just a completely different environment that really excels therapy.
If you have a question, our number is 513-419-7100. Regina's calling from New Richmond. Hi, Regina. What's your question?
Hi. I had more of a comment. I'm a speech-language therapist. I've never worked with hypnotherapy therapy and think it would be fascinating to do. But I am associated with the twinning communities that are done by our Archdiocese of Cincinnati, and Notre Dame de Namur in Cincinnati has a sister, Rebecca, who's in Matagalpa, Nicaragua, which is the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. They have a special school called Special Families, and they don't have occupational therapy or speech therapy, but in the last 6 to 8 years, they have started a HIPAA therapy program and have seen wonderful progress and benefits for the children and adults who participate there. A wealthier man in the community who has show horses has volunteered one of his tamer horses to where they use it 5 days a week and have the adults and children do exercises and different things to encourage good body control and core development, and I haven't heard anything but good things about it. And
well,
I've been there twice to see it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate the call, Regina. Thank you. I wonder, has this been around for a long time?
It's growing. I think it started to gain popularity back in the 1950s when Olympic silver medalist Liz Hartel, she won the silver medal, and it was an equestrian sports, and she told the world that the horse helped her recover from polio. And from there, it kind of exploded. So, you know, occupational therapists, physical therapists went over to Europe in 1980s, and they learned about hippotherapy. At least that's what I know of the history of hippotherapy. And from there, centers kept being built in the United States. And I think we're only going to see more and more hippotherapy and equine therapy, just because the benefits are being realized and research is being done.
We go now to Rhett in Avondale. Hi, Rhett. What's your question?
Yes, I was wondering how would one sign up for these services? I just turned it tuned into the radio. I have a son that has cerebral palsy and severe and profound mental retardation and developmental delay. And if any of these services accept government-type insurances.
Who knows, Rob?
You know, insurances, they're coming more and more on board. Obviously, there's a long way to go. We are doing a lot of work with metrics and measurements to help that process along. But in the meantime, you can, you know, depending on your location, you can just Google equine therapy in your location here in Cincinnati. We're the only hippotherapy program in all of greater Cincinnati, but that would be Cincinnati Therapeutic Riding and Horsemanship.
And Jeff, you're where are Loveson Stables?
Loveson is located in Dry Ridge, right off of I-75 at the Dry Ridge exit, on Bolts Lake Road. And it's about 25 minutes south of downtown Cincinnati.
And without asking you to just everybody here to quote prices necessarily, is it expensive? I mean, is it affordable? How would you...
It's very expensive. Anything having to do with horses is expensive. I mean, quite honestly, anything having to do with therapy is typically pretty expensive. So we're hit with a double whammy. But our riders and their families are already burdened, you know, with the expense of living with a disability. So we certainly take that into consideration. And we subsidize 80% on average of riders' times with us. So riders pay a real small fee to ride with us, and we raise the rest. And we do it with the help of foundations and the generosity of individual donors and so forth.
Rhett, does that help you?
Yes, it did. I appreciate that.
Very good. Well, do you have any other questions, or are you all set?
I'm all set.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Appreciate you taking my call.
We do want to remind you all that there are links on our website for information about all of the folks here today and the locations where the services are provided. Before we wrap up, just a final word on, in terms of if somebody's starting out with this and maybe they're a little apprehensive, they think it might be a good thing, but they don't know, what do you tell them so they're not afraid?
I tell them to just, first they could look it up online at the website, and we always welcome people to come in and, you know, they can call us. We can set up an appointment with them and take them on a tour. They can even come watch one of the classes that goes on and take them through the stables. That's what I did when, at my curiosity, when I found CTRH, just doing a Google search for something recreational as a handicapped individual. I called, made an appointment, went out. They took me through the stables. I watched a class, got familiar with what it was like. So I would recommend that.
And as Jeff said, you know, it's not always about riding the horse. There's value in just being with the horse. And that, you know, that doesn't have to be as intimidating.
Jeff?
We do a couple different things. A lot of times we'll actually schedule a one-on-one where someone will bring their child out and we'll try and get them on a horse pretty quick. Now that doesn't always work, but they do at least get the experience of being around the horse and gaining a little comfort and hopefully a little more confidence to try it again.
Sarah Ruth?
I think I just echo what they said. Sometimes we'll get them on the equisizer, which is just a pretend horse, kind of, before we put them on the real deal. But yeah, checking out the classes, taking a tour, talking to the professionals, I think that's the best way to kind of ease those fears and pursue something fun.
Thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you all.
Thank you.
We've been discussing local equine therapy programs. Our guests, Cincinnati Therapeutic Riding and Horsemanship Executive Director Rob Seideman, Board Member Ann Phipps, and Registered Therapist in Hippotherapy at Licensed Occupational Therapist with Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, Sarah Ruth Riggs. Joining us by phone was the head of the Equitherapy Learning Program for Veterans at Loveson Stables, Jeff Fryman. In just a moment, we'll hear how con artists cheat their victims and what you can do to protect yourself from scams. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.